Well, I'm still thinking about that puzzle. I'm going to have to switch gears now and speak to all of you. I remember Dr. Aldrich one time saying, I'm just going to speak for a few minutes. It's just going to seem like a long time. So he was always a comedian. Tonight I want to talk about the new year. Every time we come to a new year, it's a new beginning. We have opportunity to think about the things in the past and be thankful for what the Lord has done. And sometimes that means being thankful that the year's over because it's been a difficult year. But it may have been a time of great blessing for you as well. But it's a time to reflect on the past and be thankful to God. And then it's also a time to look forward with expectation and anticipation for the future. And when I was speaking yesterday at Hillcrest Bible Church, I talked about the responsibility we have to be looking for the Lord every day and also living for the Lord. And both of those, and when I talked about living for the Lord, I said the important part of that is reading the Word of God and spending time every day with Him in prayer. And that's truly important. And one of the encouragements personally to me has been in a study of the book of Colossians. And I want you to turn to this book. I'm not going to teach the whole book tonight, but I kind of am. Because I want to give you what I consider to be the key verses in this whole book. If you understand these key verses, I think you can get the significance of the entire passage. The first key verse is in chapter 1 and verse 27, where he says, to them God willed to make known what are the riches, the glory, the mystery of among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And I would say to you, what is your hope of glory? And as a Christian, you say, well, it's Christ in me. Christ is the hope of glory. And his indwelling presence in me is the hope of glory that we have. And if you look at John in the Upper Room Discourse and what he revealed, he said this involves the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit and the abiding presence of God the Father and God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But this whole book is important because when it talks about the hope of glory, he's talking to these Colossian believers who are thinking there might be some other things you have to add in order to have glory. And maybe it is things that you eat, things that you do, maybe Greek philosophy, maybe to avoid certain things in your life and all the things that we're doing. But the Apostle Paul makes it very clear from the very beginning, it is Christ in us. It's Christ that is the hope of glory. And we really need to hold on to that great truth. The second statement that I think is key to this passage, and perhaps you've memorized these verses, I think they're great to memorize, but is in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And here it says, as you therefore receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. And both of those two things are things that you do. You have received him, and then you have a command to keep on. You've received him, so keep on walking in Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now he's saying, now you walk in Christ. This is the daily walk that you have. Now look at the rest of the words that are written here. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. What's interesting about those words is the word rooted and built up and established and taught are all passives, meaning something that is happening to you. And sometimes we can speak of these passives as being divine passives. These are things that God is doing in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, he's not passive in us. He's active in us. What is he doing? Well, he's rooting us, and the pictures of a plant being rooted in the ground where it gets all its sustenance for life, but we're being rooted. And that statement, by the way, is a statement that means in the past, when you first believed, you were rooted in Jesus Christ, and you are continuing up to this day to be rooted in him. And then the imagery changes to being built up in him, a structure being built. And part of the Christian life is being rooted in him. Part of it is being built up in him. But both of those are what God is doing in us. That's why Christ in me, the hope of glory, is so key, because it is Christ in me doing these things. Then he goes on to say, and you're being taught and abounding in it with thanksgiving. The being taught and being instructed, established in your faith, in the faith, as you have been taught, that's also what God is doing in you, establishing you in the faith. And as you read the Word of God, and as you come to the Scriptures, and as you fellowship with God in prayer, God is accomplishing a work in you where He is the teacher, and He is opening your heart to understand the truth. So you are being rooted and built up in Him, and you are being established in the faith as you have been taught. And I can teach a class, I can teach a sermon, but I can't teach your heart. That's what God does. He puts the truth in your heart. And then the last part is abounding in it with thanksgiving, and that abounding and being thankful, that's another thing that you do. So in this passage, it's you've received Him, you are commanded to walk in Him, and you are commanded to be thankful for all that He's doing in you that is gives you the hope of glory. Now let me give you the third verse. You thought I was going to concentrate on those, but I'm not. That's just overview. Now let me talk about the passage I want to actually talk about. And that's in chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. And there's a surprise here for you. There shouldn't be a surprise for you, but it's presented as a surprise for you. Because again, there is a pursuit. If then you were raised, that, by the way, is in passive. God raised you up. If you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things, not things above, not on things of the earth. Two commands in this statement. You are to keep seeking, and you are to keep setting your mind. Those are the two commands that are giving on this. And what are you to keep seeking, and what are you to keep setting your mind? Well, on those things which are above. Well, what things are above? Well, Christ is above. But there's something else that's above. And that's the secret. But it's presented, the secret is, you're told in verses 3 and 4 what the secret is. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Let me just pull this statement apart for a minute so you can see the secret. It says, for you died. How did you die? Well, Jesus Christ was appointed as your representative. And He was also not only presented as your representative, but He was appointed as your representative, but He was also then appointed as your substitute to take your place. And He took your sin. And He took your death. These were charged to His account. What rightly belongs to you was charged to His account. Christ was not able to die until this charging to His account took place, because then He became sin for us, and God then poured out His eternal wrath upon His eternal Son to accomplish our eternal salvation. And He poured out His wrath until the price was paid, and our eternal forgiveness, our eternal righteousness, all of this was secured for us. But there's something else that happened. You say, well, none of that is a secret. We already know that. We're well taught here at church, and so we know these things. But notice this. For you died, and your life is hidden. That is hidden means that when Christ died, He hid something. This is the secret part. What did He hide? Well, He hid your true identity. He hid your true identity. Well, where is that true identity, and what is that true identity? Well, it's in Christ. It says here, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So when He died, He accomplished this great salvation, and your true identity is with Christ now in heaven. Now, what is this true identity? Well, he secured for us our justification, our sanctification, and our glorification. All of that is secured for us. And what he has hidden in heaven is that finished work. It's finished. Now, I don't know what that looks like. But I know that it says, when Christ, who is our life, appears, and that's, by the way, a passive. It means when he be appearing, which the Father sends him. So when he be appearing, what it says is, you also will appear with him in glory. When Christ, who our life, appears, then you also will appear. We always think when the Lord appears that we will be so interested in seeing him, and we truly will. That's the first thing you're going to be interested in when you're caught up to meet the Lord, and you're rising up to meet the Lord when he comes, and there he is, and you're going to see him. But there's also something else that he brings with him, and that is your true identity. Your fully justified, sanctified, glorified self. That also will appear. It's as if he brings that with him as well. So as you look at him, remember to look at yourself a little bit, because you are truly going to be changed. And I sort of hope that I'm not unrecognizable. It seems to me like I will be, because when I compare myself now, I'm in this process of walking in the Christian life. But setting your mind on things above and seeking those things, when you look at those promises, that's like Jesus Christ is above. I set my mind upon him because he is the finished work. He's writing to a church where they're always trying to add things to their salvation by the things that they want to do. And he's saying, Christ has it's all done. And he has it there, and it's all complete in him. And when he appears, you're going to appear. I said, well, I'm already here. I mean, how I'm going to appear to you? I'm going to appear in sanctification and glorification. Now, let me give you an illustration of why this is so important and why this is so significant in this text. Because when you look at the text and it follows, you're going to see in verses 5 that following, that brings you down also all the way down to verse 11, where it says, Christ is all and in all. That's another one of the key passages in this text. Christ is all and in all. And when you look at this, there's commands that follow this, and you are to put off. In the first set of commands, it talks a little bit about putting on, and then you are to put on in the second part. So there's clearly responsibilities to do, but first you are to seek those things which are above where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on those things. So let me give my illustration. Let's suppose that you've decided to climb Mount Hood. You say, well, you're very gracious to me because I don't think I could ever do that, but let's imagine that you're going to climb Mount Hood. And there's a group of you at the bottom of the mountain, and there you are, and an angel appears. And the angel appears and says to you all, I am privileged to have a future camera with me. And I want to show you all a picture. And this is a picture of all of you at the top of the mountain. And so he says, I'm going to hand you out these pictures. So he hands each one of us a picture. So we all have the picture. We look, we say, whoa, there we all are at the top of the mountain. The clothes are all the same. This is great. Do you think that would help you climbing the mountain? I think it would. I think if you were climbing the mountain, you'd walk along and you say, man, my legs are killing me. It's every step is up. And I'm just climbing and climbing. My legs are killing me. So you pull out the picture. You go, whoa. Put it back and you say, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to go. My legs are hurting, but I think I'll make it. Suddenly there's a big storm. The clouds come in. It starts snowing. You can't even see in front of you. The wind is blowing. You can't even see the pathway in front of you. And you say, whoa, this is trouble. I don't think we can make it. Pull out the picture and you look at it. You go, whoa, I think we're going to make it. So you put the picture back in and you keep going. The storm has caused part of the trail to fall aside. And there's a precarious route that goes around this way, and you go, I don't know. Pull out the picture. We're all at the top. You put it back in. And finally you climb and you go around and you're at the top. And the angel appears. He says, everyone gather around. Let's take the picture. He takes the picture. He gives everybody the picture. It's the same picture. You go, whoa, this is just exactly what he said it was. The angel then says, I've got good news and I've got bad news. The good news is this picture. The bad news is I don't have a picture of you at the bottom of the hill. So then what do you think? You go, oh boy, that makes the trip down a little different than the trip up. So you turn around and you look down the mountain and you go, here we go. So you think that downhill trip is going to be difficult, going around that difficult pathway that was knocked out? And if the weather hits again, you think that would be more difficult? And the pain of going now downhill, you think that would be difficult? I say, I think it would be. I think it would be terribly difficult. And then you think, are we all going to make it? Am I going to make it? We don't know. The Lord never presents the Christian life like that. The Christian life is always presented in such a way where you have the hope of glory always with you. In the Christian life, you have the picture at the top of the mountain. You have the picture at the bottom of the mountain, too. And you're always encouraged because of a passage like this, which says, when Christ appears, when he be appearing, you will appear. What's going to appear? What he has hidden. He has hidden the completed you, the true you, the sanctified, glorified you. That's what's hidden, and that's what he's bringing with him, and that's what you're going to be transformed into. You say, well, why should we then live the Christian life? What's the incentive? If everything is provided at the end, we say, well, that's the case. I'm going to just sit back and do nothing. I don't have to climb the mountain at all. Just sit here at the bottom. But you'll notice that you have this setting of your mind and the perspective of who you truly are and what you truly already have in order to face the put off. Put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, unclean, and passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience. Put these things off. And you look across at verse 12. Put on tender mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. What are you putting on and putting off? You're putting on and putting off what is already finished for you in heaven. You say, well, why do we have to put this off and put this on? I said, well, you have to ask the Lord that question, but I can tell you this. He wants you to walk in the victory of Christ. I know that this walking that we do in this life is not obtaining the victory. In other words, that Christ saves us, and he says, well, I'm saving you, I'm going to do most of it, but I'm going to see if you can climb the mountain and come down the mountain, if you can do the Christian life and live the Christian life, then I will give you the rest of the blessings. That's not what the Christian life is presented as. It's presented as walking in the victory of Jesus Christ. Walking in the victory of what you already have. It's walking with the picture of the triumph, because you have the picture presented here that Jesus Christ, Christ in you, is the hope of glory. That's the picture. Christ in me, the hope of glory. So someone comes along and says, we have philosophy here for you. I said, I don't need philosophy. I have Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well, if you eat these certain foods and don't eat these certain foods, and if you observe these days and don't observe these certain days, then you'll have the hope of glory. I said, no, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. And as you have received him, so walk in him, because he's doing all these things in you to bring you to glory. And then he says, set your mind on the things above. It's so important to know who you are. You ought to preach the gospel to your heart every day by saying, this is who I am. Jesus Christ died for me to forgive, secure the full forgiveness of my sins. And Jesus Christ died for me in order that I may be clothed in his righteousness, sanctified and glorified completely. That's who I am. And when he appears, we're going to appear with him in what he secured for us at the cross. But the Christian life is walking in this. And if Jesus Christ does not come in your lifetime, you're going to walk through death. But death has been defeated. The victory, you've got the picture of the victory. Jesus Christ wants us, if he does not come, to walk through death, to experience the victory of Jesus Christ in all of these ways. He says, it's like he's saying, this is such a wonderful thing that Jesus Christ has done for you. I've secured the whole thing. I want you to walk through it. And that's a great encouragement in living the Christian life. You know, sometimes we put this heavy burden on ourselves. I got to live the Christian life in order to make myself acceptable to God. You don't live the Christian life in order to be acceptable to God. You live the Christian life because you are acceptable to God. And you're walking in the victory of Jesus Christ. Christ is all and in all. That's our great hope. So it's wonderful to know when you think of the future that your true identity is hidden in Christ. Peter talks about this in another way. He says you have this inheritance that cannot fade away. It's there for you. It's secured for you. It's complete. And when was it completed? Well, at the cross. So that's why we're always coming back to the cross. If you read the key verse in Galatians 2:20, it's the same thing. You come back to Jesus Christ. You come back to the cross. Why? Because the issue was whether something other than Christ was sufficient or needful to save. Be it part of your justification or part of your sanctification, whether it's something that you add, whether it's Christ plus you or whether it's Christ alone. And the scriptures teach it's Christ alone. That's the great hope. And that's such an encouragement as you begin to live the new year. You say, I'm going to live the new year in expectation of the Lord. Every day looking for him. The church has always looked for the coming of the Lord. And we say, I'm looking for the Lord, but I'm also knowing who I am because I look back at the cross and say, I died there. In order to be a Christian, you have to die to live. But you die at the cross. And Christ is the one who took your place, who took your sin, who took your punishment, and secured the victory for you. You're always looking back to Christ, but it's Christ at the cross, and then it's Christ in glory. And you see him, and everything he's secured for you here is with him there. And when Christ appears, you're going to appear. So I say, if I meet you in heaven, I may have to introduce myself to you. We may look the same. I don't know how we're going to look. Maybe I'm going to say, I'm Gary Custis. You'll say, whoa. So it's like going to a class reunion after, well, some of you don't know this, but after a class reunion after 40 years, and you go and you meet somebody, you say, oh, who are you? And they say, oh, they're so-so. Oh, I didn't even recognize you. You've aged nicely. You know, I don't know how you say it. I didn't recognize you. And it may be in heaven you have to come up and say, well, you know, I just didn't recognize you. Because you see, in this life, we're walking through this life and we're sinners saved by grace. And we face the problems and difficulties and we grumble and we complain and we sin. And it's so easy to be discouraged when you see this life and you look at this life and say, if this life is leading me to glory, sometimes we can look and say, oh, that's very discouraging. I don't know if you get discouraged, but I can get very discouraged when I look at my life and you say, what it should be. And then I say, no, wait a second. Who am I? What is my true identity? I say, I know who I am because I'm who Christ makes me to be. And my salvation is complete in him. That's the great hope that we have. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I'm not being arrogant when I say, I'm going to heaven. And some people think if you say, and you're so confident in that, that you're arrogant because you're speaking about your performance in the Christian life. I'm not speaking about my performance in the Christian life. I'm speaking about what Christ has accomplished for me. I look at the cross. I look at who I am in Christ. I look at Christ Jesus and all that he's accomplished for me. And when he comes, he's going to bring the true me with him. And I shall be sanctified and glorified in his presence. Amazing. That's the great hope we have. And I trust you'll be encouraged as you look more and more at Jesus Christ. What distinguishes us here is that we are Christians. We are the followers of Jesus Christ. We are focused upon him. He is our hope. It's a great hope that we have. And when he appears, your true identity will appear with him. We come this evening to partake of the Lord's Supper. It's a wonderful thing to begin the new year thinking about him, but it's even more wonderful to think about him throughout the year. But this is a reminder. He says, don't ever forget Christ in you, the hope of glory. Don't ever forget the reason why you're saved, because he took the bread is what he took your place. He was broken for you. That's a picture of substitutionary atonement, his death. And his death, you eat it because it gives you life. And the cup represents all the new covenant promises that he gives to you and the promises that you stand in the full partaker of all the promises of God, and you take the cup and you drink it. Because it's all the blessings that you ever receive, you receive from Jesus Christ, and you're saying, my hope is built upon Jesus Christ and him alone. And as believers in Jesus Christ, we partake of these elements focused upon Jesus Christ at the cross and focused upon him when he comes, because he's the one who secured the victory for us. We have great hope in Jesus Christ. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the hope that you've given us. It is only in Jesus Christ. We don't hope in ourselves. We don't hope in our goodness, our righteousness. There's nothing to hope in when we hope in ourselves. But we hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. And he accomplished our salvation for us, and we rejoice in him. And we're thankful that we are hidden. Hidden in him. And he is in us, and we are in him, and we are hidden in him. And when he appears, we shall appear. What a great hope we have in Christ. We pray that you'll bless us as we partake of these elements. And we pray that you will bless each element as we partake of them. But may we be reminded, Christ in us, the hope of glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.